every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Ecom 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman, and Mike McDowd, who finally got his camera working. Just love it.
I'm doing the sprinkler. I'm just having a fun time wearing my Giants classic old school Hawaiian shirt. It's baseball season.
That's right. Aww. And even though you're in Florida, that's how you have to pronounce them. That's my grandmother.
Just in Florida doesn't mean I'm not a damn Giants fan or Niners fan. I don't root for the Florida teams.
Because the Giants are in a real funk. Maybe you have to find a different shirt because the Giants need a lot. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you of all people, Russell, should be like giddy, like, hey, man, I love that shirt.
It's a cool shirt. That is that. I remember when that was a giveaway, wasn't it, from the park? Was it, or is it when they
changed? I don't know. I spent a lot of money on this.
Okay, I know they
have. No.
You don't count the price of the ticket as a lot of money. All right. At each commercial break, we are going to ask a trivia question. And one question is not so hard. One question is incredibly hard. And another question, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see if you guys know it. It stumped me, and I'm the guy who came up with them. All right, and then we do have a special guest we're going to introduce in the next segment. Mike found us a fun guest, and we'll read his bio and introduce him and tell us all why he's on the show. And Russ, he's got a lot to say because, unfortunately, we lost Hulk Hogan, which, Thunder Lips. I still remember that, you know. That was the best rock. To me, that was the best Rocky. Was Rocky, no, Rocky 3. All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
Voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, and Mike, would you please introduce our special guest?
If I must, I will. You know, I'm really thrilled to have him on. Kind of a one-of-a-kind guy. I had the opportunity to meet him at the Bob Hayes Invitational Track Meet. I worked with him. He was the director, producer, and overseer of our broadcast crew. His name is Roy Mitchell Evans II. Now, I love his motto, one man's mind. He's an innovator. He is a guy with a vision. He is the president and CEO of the Jericho Broadcast Networks. Now, he also runs something that's very applicable to the sports world. He is the founder of the Black College Sports Network. Now, what's so cool about having Roy on is the fact of the matter is, you know, you and I have discussed before, HBCU sports, which means historically black colleges, well, you don't hear about it on mainstream sports talk media. You just don't. So I wanted to have this gentleman in because, you know, you hear these words, pioneer, visionary. Well, that's, I think that's very applicable to my friend Roy. And, you know, Roy, absolute thrill to have you on the show. I know you know how to talk because when I did that track meet with you, you came behind the microphone and you worked it very well. You're no stranger to the mic. So welcome aboard the Sports Econ 101, coast to coast, border to border, and around the globe with our U.S. military. So happy to have you because, man, you're going to be able to give us great insight about why you founded this network to promote historically black college sports. So welcome.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. I would like to say thank you to all the servicemen and women out there for your service to our country and everything that you do and that you put on the line for us every day. I've actually got a couple of great stories about some servicemen in our network from years ago. So this is interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
I guess number one question is, and it's like the traditional journalist question. Why did you start this network? It seems pretty obvious. I'll phrase the question, you answer it. But from a number of years, historically black college sports was not really prominent. All of us grew up in the West Coast, San Francisco Bay Area, a place called Marin County. I think our version of HBCU sport is this game. Southern Grambling, NBC Sports, and, you know, the marching bands. And I think that's pretty applicable to a large part of the United States, especially the Western part. So tell me about why you created the Black College Sports Network. It's innovative, it's exciting, and it's your baby.
Which, by the way, just really, really quickly, when I was a kid, one of my favorite things to watch on Sunday morning was Grambling football. They had a whole show just on Grambling football, just like Notre Dame football. They had just on Grambling. It was awesome. Go ahead. All right.
Oh, wow. So, thank you for that. We started the company in actually 1994 is when we initially started the company. And we were traditional media at that point. And the reason for starting it is because folks would ask me, well, who's your favorite team? And I'd be like, well, Florida A&M. And the teams that they play. And they'd be like, well, we mean real football. And I'm like, what do you mean real football? That is real football. Being from Florida, you know, South Florida is where I grew up. But the thing was is that even in Tallahassee, where we were, we got very little press. And we could never really find information out. I mean, it was hard enough finding information out about FAMU and the city that we were in, but trying to find out information from folks like Gramblings, your North Carolina A&Ts, you know, the Howards, the Hamptons, it was next to impossible because the local media just really didn't cover them. They didn't, you know, put the effort into doing it. They, at the time, they would, you know, send maybe one person out to a game and say, hey, get a few shots, come back, you know, let's just do that. And this was immediately following my time at Florida A&M when I just came out in 1994 and was just doing my professional stuff and was just like, you know, one of the things that they taught us there was you don't sit around and just wait for other people to do stuff and you don't complain about it. If you see a problem, create a solution. And so the solution for us was the Black College Sports Network. I had a research and development firm at the time. So we used our own services. We surveyed about 3,000 people across the Eastern Seaboard and the Southeast to see if we were the only ones who just wanted to, you know, to find out more information and be able to get more information in this digital space. And we saw that folks wanted it. So we were like, hey, let's go ahead and do it. We initially started off on traditional media doing radio. I was a radio personality at the time. And we were working with the station that I was at because they understood the value of it just because of some of the things, of course, that they were used to and being in the city. Mm-hmm. But then it just developed and morphed into some different things as we started doing our internet. And in 1998, we launched our first podcast that was called BCSN Sports Wrap. And it was the way that we could take it nationally. Back then, it wasn't called a podcast. We literally called it putting a show up on a server so people could download it. That was the act of what we were doing. And back then, it was a 2-hour show that we broke up into 15-minute segments. And it took 45 minutes to download each 15-minute segment of the show. And for 2 years, we had over 1,000 people a week downloading the show.
Well, that's pretty decent. Yeah.
And most importantly, Roy, you said you're a radio guy. So in your best radio voice, what were you doing? Top 40? Were you doing news? Were you doing sports? I mean, what were you doing, Roy? And give us your best. I got to hear this.
I was on an urban radio station. They actually did have me bounce around when I worked for. I did some time for a Cox station and the Clear Channel stations. Ended up working for a small station where I was the morning drive time jock. And, you know, let's see. Good morning and welcome. It's the V108 The Vibe early morning mix right here. Well, you know.
Love it.
I like it. What's been the, you know, obviously I think key word is innovation, creativity, with the Black College Network. I have, we'll ask that question because I know we got to take a quick break, but want to ask you that question, what it means to Black College sports and sports in general. So we'll save that question and then we're going to take a break.
All right. You guys ready for our first trivia question here? This one, I think, is kind of the medium question. Which U.S. state is the second highest producer of maple syrup after Vermont? Vermont's the first. All right. Which? I got this one wrong. So don't ask me. I do have the correct answer now, but I didn't have it back then. All right. Email Edward at sportsecom101.com. The answer to this question. Which U.S. state is the second highest producer of maple syrup after Vermont? They're the first one. All right. And Mike thinks he knows his answer. He's wagging his finger. He thinks he knows the answer. All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Ecom 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowell, and our special guest, Roy Mitchell Evans II. I love that. That's a nice long one. Our first trivia question, which U.S. state is the second highest producer of maple syrup after Vermont? Yes, sir. Michael.
Maine. Maybe Maine, too.
Now, I thought it was going to be New Hampshire because they're right next to each other. And when I did biking Vermont, we went back and forth. Believe it or not, it's in New York.
Wow.
They have a lot of Alabama. Yeah. And that whole
That one threw me for a loop. All right. Michael, why don't you ask your question again, if you would.
Yes, yeah, so Roy, before we went to break, I want to ask a question about what's the Black College Network sports, you know, probably had just sports, different programming, shows. What does it mean to have this vehicle to help promote these great athletes? Okay. Some of the athletes who have played in HBC universities are Hall of Famers.
Yep.
You know, great guys. Greg Allen, you know, from FAMU. And, you know, the punter we've had on our show. It's not Gregory Al. Gregory, what's his last name? You know our friend who was...
I don't remember. I know who you're talking about. I don't remember his last name. But you know, no, it's great, man. You know, we've had a long history of athletes who come from HBCUs, like you said, who are Hall of Famers and who are great players, you know, to get out there. Of course, Jerry Rice, you know, considered arguably one of the greatest receiver of all time, you know, Walter Payton. Oh, man, just a lot of guys. And so for us, what it was about was telling the story, because a lot of folks just didn't know. And
Greg Coleman, by the way.
Greg Coleman, I just looked at him. Yes. Sorry, Greg, and I apologize.
And so, you know, just putting the information out there, I think one of the things about it, because what actually happened in the creation of this was I was working at the radio station. And so I started seeing how they were moving to the digital space. And I realized that we could touch a lot of people doing the same things that they were doing in radio. They, you know, they were using the internet. We had DJs lost control of our music. So we were no longer picking our music. It was coming from corporate and all this stuff, but it gave us the ability to reach people first, as we were just looking at it, just all over the country, you know, being able to reach fans who are in places on the West Coast and far off cities who don't really have them. And if you're in a city that doesn't have an HBCU, you got no news, no matter how big the city was. I mean, your Chicago's, New York's, you know, you didn't really see anything about it. And so we wanted to make sure that we gave that opportunity for the fans and the alumni, but also as a way to ingratiate new people into this, because, you know, a lot of folks don't realize it, but the HBCUs, most of the HBCUs who are playing football and who are doing the sports have been doing it for over 100 years. You know, and that's the thing that we've got. You know, you got a lot of schools in what they call the FCS now, who've really only been playing football for, you know, maybe 20, 30 years now. So they're on their first generation of fans, but there is a long legacy and history of HBCUs playing football and just being engaged in the sport. So that was really the big reason, is to be able to tell these stories and to open it up to the fans so that they can have somewhere to go, but to also open it up to new people.
And Roy, real quickly, important. I know that like Grambling and I believe it was Alabama A&M came out to Sacramento at a huge stadium, and they played an actual college football game in Sacramento to promote HBCU football. It was a big success. Stadium seats 20,000. They sold it out, 20,000. Also, University of California, home of the Golden Bears, where we grew up in the Bay Area. The Cal, again, Cal stands for constantly always losing. The Grambling came out to, I don't know if Roy got that one, but Cal, had Grambling come out, and the big deal was like, hey, come to the game, but stay for the halftime show.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, people came to the show. They did not leave their seats for halftime. And I know they got an unbelievable reception from the Cal alumni and students. So, I think playing those games on the West Coast, Midwest, wherever, is a big deal for these schools.
It is. It's huge. And right now I know that there are some folks who are actually working on a game to come back out to California. But there is going to be a game in Las Vegas this year that Grambling and Jackson State are going to be playing in that game. And so it's going to be huge. And you're absolutely right. The band is just as important as the football game is when it comes to HBCU football. And you got folks that do that. And that's one of those cultural things. You know, we all go to the we go to the concession stand into the bathroom at the start of the third quarter. Because everybody's in there. Most of the folks are in their seats for halftime when you're at an HBCU game. That's a huge, major part of it. Again, I attended Florida A&M. We have what we like to call the world-renowned Marching 100. We were the first American band to participate in Bastille Day over in France. And they've done like a whole lot of firsts and different things. There was actually an HBCU band that was the first to participate in the Rose Bowl this past year, and I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't remember which band it was, but they had the opportunity to go over and participate. And it's great. I mean, like I said, and I tell people, you have to think about it. You know, these football teams had 65 players on each side, but you can get to an HBCU band, and there are 150, 200 people on a regular size band. FAMU, like I said, we were called the Marching 100 because they were the first band to have over 100 people in it. But, I mean, they're on a regular basis. Our band literally fields about 300 people. And homecoming, it's double that when they bring the alumni back and everything. It's definitely a different situation when it comes to the bands.
Well, you know, one of the things that I really want, and I mentioned to Edward about this, you truly are at the forefront when it comes to digital streaming and getting out there way before ESPN, Fox, CBS, Sports. Tell us about that innovative idea, how it came about, because your idea has literally transformed the way that people watch sports, and it's the wave of the future.
Yeah. So initially, like I said, we started in 94, and what we were initially going to do is we had a guy locally in Tallahassee that had a production truck. We were going to rent his production truck and go around and do the different games just like you regularly do on terrestrial media. But it just got to be cost prohibitive even when we were looking at what we wanted to do. And as I said, I was working in radio as a drive time jock, and I'll never forget it. It was funny. The day I got off on a Friday and came to work that next Monday, all of the albums, all of my CDs, everything was gone. And I'm like, where's all the music? And they're like, oh, it's all coming across the internet now. And we get the playlist from corporate headquarters. And I'm just like, okay, well, that's interesting. And so at that point, I started researching what was happening with the internet and where they were planning on going with it. And I literally spent about 6 months doing some deep diving into it. And I told my partner, I'm like, dude, this internet thing is going to be huge. And I'm like, you're going to be watching it on your phones in the next 10, 15 years. Now, mind you, this is right after the first flip phone from Motorola came out, that little gray one.
550.
There you go. Yeah, we all had that one little gray phone. So, you know, and we started off doing audio. And it was funny because I tell people, I said, you know, the biggest thing that's the hugest difference for me is that when I had my cell phone then, all the data was free because nobody was using it. And so we had the data. We would take it. We would, you know, I'd connect a couple of headsets up to my laptop. And, you know, I had a little wire connected for the Motorola phone that went into the USB port. And we would go and do live audio broadcasts of games because we just, you know, we were like, we wanted to get them out. And so the first 2.5-3 years, we did audio broadcasts. But we were actually live streaming HBCU sports 6 years before ESPN started streaming.
Wow. Are you going to potentially do a partnership with them?
Well, we're actually working with them now on some of the events that they have. They have the MEAC, what's called the MEAC SWAC Challenge and the Celebration Bowl, which is okay. The MEAC SWAC Challenge is the Division I conferences. Mm-hmm. And you know, I can give you a little bit more information on that. But yeah, we're always open to working with them. We do some things with them now.
Sure. All right. When we come back, we also wanted to get Russell to give us all his Hulk Hogan stories, because I'm sure he's got a lot of them. All right. Okay. You guys ready? This is our hard question. Or actually, let's see. No, this is not too hard a question here. What was the first company to cross $1 trillion in market value? This would be on the stock market. Which was the, and I'll give you a hint, it happened in 2018. What was the first company to cross the $1 trillion mark in market value back in 2018? All right, stay with us. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance. With state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is. So you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Mountain Mike's Pizza. You've heard our phrase, pizza the way it ought to be. But did you know that our famous pepperoni large pizza has over 100 pieces of pepperoni on it? Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily, never frozen. Having a party? We have a great room for parties and a video arcade with tickets and prizes for kids, located at 2100 4th Street in San Rafael. You'll enjoy your pizza the way it ought to be. Call us at 415-454-4300. That's Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael.
Van Halen redefined rock and roll with blistering guitar riffs, unforgettable hooks, and a stage show that felt larger than life. From Running with the Devil to Jump, they took the raw power of 70s rock, added wild energy and guitar heroics, and delivered the soundtrack of a generation. Now, San Fran Halen captures that spirit with precision and passion. This Bay Area supergroup brings Van Halen's legendary catalog roaring back to life. Get ready for an authentic, high-energy show that channels the full-throttle fun of Van Halen's prime.
This isn't just a tribute. This is a celebration.
Come party like it's 1984 on Saturday, August 16th at Santa Rosa's Vintage Space Nightclub in the Flamingo Hotel.
2777 4th Street, Santa Rosa.
San Fran Halen.
San Fran Halen.
August 16th. Get your tickets online at sanfranhalen.com.
Lowe's knows hot deals help you get the most out of summer. Get up to 30% off select major appliances and get it delivered as soon as next day. Plus, get up to 30% off select patio furniture, grills, outdoor power equipment, and more. These end-of-season savings won't last long. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 7/30. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Valid on eligible in-stock orders in select locations. Price, delivery time, and vehicle availability may vary based on order size and location. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com/delivery for more details.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowd, and our special guest, Roy Mitchell Evans II. Second trivia question, what was the first company to cross the $1 trillion mark in market value? Michael.
I know Russell's just sitting there going, I got this answer. That's just like you stole my answer a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You bum. I'm going to... It's either one of two. All right. I'm going to go Apple.
You are correct. Apple Computer.
It was Apple.
And now
okay.
I think NVIDIA crossed like $4 trillion or something. Something ridiculous.
Wow.
Now you're talking real money.
Okay.
$1 trillion, nothing. $4 trillion, now you're talking real money. Okay, go ahead. Mike, you wanted to ask Roy a question.
Yeah, special guest is Roy Mitchell Evans is saying, so very privileged to have you aboard and sharing your story. Your network, and particularly the Black College Sports Network, because it's making some serious news. It's making noise. People are paying attention for a number of reasons, and you can extrapolate on this, but you know what's really cool? If you haven't noticed, and I'm not too sure, of course, I'm in Florida right now. These guys are in the Bay Area. HBU sports has become, in the last couple of years, super prominent on different networks, primarily ESPN, the CW, I've noticed, and some other networks are really, how should you say, promoting Black College sports, and in particular, not only Division I, but Division II. There's really good ball at the Division II level. Proudly, I can say that I'm the voice of Edward Waters University in Jacksonville, Florida, the football voice. But even that, those level of athletes are getting the much-needed publicity and love that they deserve.
Yeah, it's been great. And, I mean, you know, let's call it what it is. When Deion went to Jackson State, it turned a light on that hadn't been shined on it before. You know, it's just, I mean, Deion is a generational talent, generational athlete, you know, that everybody knows who he is. And so somebody of his caliber coming to, you know, it's, I mean, Deion coming to coach at your school is like Michael Jordan coming to coach basketball, yeah. is ultimately what it was. And he brought a lot of attention and people started noticing, as you said that a couple of years ago, we actually had Edward Waters under contract. We were doing some of their games. They ended up with a player that had every NFL team coming down. He was a tight end. They came down to watch him work out at Edward Waters. And so what's happened is a lot of people just don't realize the impact from an athlete standpoint that you actually have had with the HBCUs. And to kind of put it in perspective, because you did mention both Division I and Division II. In FCS, and I'm sure you guys understand the difference between FBS and FCS, so football. In the FCS, which is the what used to be Division I AA in college football, the SWAC, which is the Southwestern Athletic Conference, has literally led attendance about 39 to 40 years in the FCS space.
Wow.
The SIAC, which is the conference that Edward Waters is in now, has led Division II for about the last 35 to 40 years. In attendance. So we've always had the fans, and like I said, because we've been playing football for such a long time versus some of these other schools. And so you've got that opportunity where they're out there and the fans have been there. And so the media entity started recognizing that. One of the things that the Division II schools can do in HBCU that you can't get most other FCS programs to be able to do, we can actually take two Division II schools to a city and get 30,000 people in the stands. You're not going to get any other Division II conferences to do that, and most FCS conferences can't even do that. To take them to a neutral site and do things of that nature. So, you know, it's being at, being able to just put that out there.
Are they going to those games because of the football teams or the bands? Because what people don't realize, even at the Division II, Edward Waters University, phenomenal band. They are fantastic. Yeah. I mean, they put on a show. They're moving, they're grooving, they're shaking, they're baking. I mean, they do it all. It's awesome. Yeah. Edward, I got to get you out here, and you got to experience this because at the Division II letter, it is a game day party.
When I was in Scotland, I saw the military marching bands around the world. It was a special thing that they do once a year, and it was pretty spectacular on that. Well, Roy, it's been an absolute pleasure. If you want to stay with us, that would be great. First of all, how do people get a hold of you if they want to? If they're more interested in your, you know, your historically black college? We have the sporting events.
Yeah. Well, you can always reach us. Our email is info@myjbn.com.
Myjbn, okay.
.com, yeah. And then our website is mybcsn.com. That's okay. Our corporate site, and it'll get you to everything that you need to know to get to us there. The Black College Sports Network is a division of the Jericho Broadcast Networks, which is the parent company that I actually created around the Black College Sports Network when I realized there was a lot more that we could do. And so, you know, those are the things. But, yeah, just getting it in. And I heard you guys talk about it. I don't know. I want to hear some of the Hulk Hogan stuff. I am kind of interested.
Yeah.
My grandfather actually was a ring announcer and a referee for WWE.
Wow.
So I grew up, right. I grew up in West Palm Beach, Florida, Riviera Beach, Florida, and the West Palm Beach Auditorium is where they used to come and do the wrestling. And my grandfather had pictures of him with Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, and all those guys when they first won their belt. So I'm a wrestling fan from way back.
Well, Russ had a moniker, Buddy Sotelo. He was the bad guy. He was the bad guy, like Paul Bearer type. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, Russ, you're on mute right now. You got to get off mute. Russ.
It's like more like Jim Cornette or Jimmy Hart. You know, I was more like one of those kind of managers. But yeah, we'll get into that, I guess, when we come back from the next break.
We have time in the segment. Yeah, we got time. Let's
all move on. I mean, the passing of Hulk Hogan, he's one of the major entertainment icons of our time. If you even just take it away from just the wrestling aspect of it and just say as a cultural icon, you can't really talk about the 80s without talking about Hulk Hogan. In fact, when I had my daughter look at what I consider, you know, important movies of our time, I made sure she saw Rocky III, because I think that there's probably no more movie that summarizes that action film of the 80s than Rocky III does. And it was the debut of Hulk Hogan that really brought him into the public eye and created what was known as the rock and wrestling connection with MTV, which was the real genius move, because that led everything into WrestleMania. And WrestleMania now has become a cultural icon. I was at WrestleMania 2 in person at the LA Coliseum, or an LA arena, sports arena, to see the Hulk Hogan King Kong Bundy matchup. And I've seen Hulk Hogan wrestle left and right and diagonally and in just about every. I used to watch him wrestle in Japan, where he used to wear white trunks, and he actually wrestled pretty scientifically to, you know, Thunder in Paradise and No Holds Barred and some of his and Mr. Nanny and Suburban Commando and his terrible, terrible movies. And, you know,
yeah, but his body slam of Andre the Giant has got to go down and was one of the biggest feats in.
Andre the Giant had been slammed a number of times before that. People who are really smart, what you would call smart marks, know everyone from Harley Race to Kamala the Ugandan Giant had body slammed Andre the Giant before. But
really? Okay. That's
wrestling is, and even Hulk Hogan had slammed him in like 1981. But no, but when he was in the AWA and known as Sterling Golden, but most people didn't know that. So really? That's the thing, yeah, is that Vince McMahon always took advantage of the lack of information of the public. And, you know, especially with Hulk Hogan, any lie would become much bigger with the two of them involved. Those two could just build a fictitious story that would go all the way to, you know, the ceiling, you know.
Yeah, but even it's funny because I think about these body slams, and most of the time, you know, you see the guy who's getting body slammed, he kind of jumps up a little bit to kind of make it easy. But it's funny because Andre, you know, he didn't have much spring in his legs. I mean, the Hulk was very, very strong. And I mean, they said that Andre the Giant weighed like 500 pounds.
Yeah, he was about 450 at that time. So, and Hulk Hogan did say it really hurt his back to lift him up. So, you know, it was one of those things that you don't do too often. When Hogan slammed Andre when he was younger, Andre had acromegaly, which meant he kept growing. As his thyroid never stops. It kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And so by the time that WrestleMania 3 rolled around, Andre was like another 100 pounds heavier than he was as a younger man. And poor guy died of a broken heart. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Russell, question. I think it's an important question, too. Obviously, he transformed the WWE into this massive, powerful entity almost. That's number one. And not only that, I believe, and you can tell me I'm wrong, but Hulk Hogan transcends sports. I think that's a fair statement.
That's what Russell was saying, yeah.
Yeah, he was. The thing I would say is if Andre the Giant was Wilt Chamberlain in basketball comparison, because there was nothing physically that you could compare Andre the Giant to, just like you could never physically compare anyone at the time of Wilt Chamberlain to maybe anyone else other than maybe Bill Russell, okay? You know, and even then, Wilt did things that you just never saw any basketball player do. Hulk Hogan was the Michael Jordan of wrestling. So he made it beyond what wrestling was. And people who were outside wrestling heard about it. And my father hated wrestling. He couldn't stand it, okay? He just despised it. But one of the things he cared about most in the entire world, there were three journalistic sources that he believed in more than anything else. The New York Times, Time Magazine, and Sports Illustrated. And while Hulk Hogan was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, that was a big deal. People forget about that. But that was the transition from wrestling being just something that you would see, you know, maybe once a month in, you know, a backwoods arena somewhere, to starting to fill up places like the Cow Palace.
Especially when, you know, they people would say, it's not really a sport, and, you know, right?
Because it was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And
that's what kind of that helped elevate it, you know, because, I mean, you watch these guys.
Sports entertainment.
They're much, much more athletic and entertaining than they were. Like when I was a kid, you know, I'd see Peter Mavia and Rocky Johnson, which he was always my favorite. You know, the Rock's dad. Tell you what, we're going to go to our next commercial break here. Okay, this one is the hardest question I probably have ever asked. How long is the longest word in the English language? And it's not like a trick question, like the word long, like smiles.
I don't know the number of letters, but I know what word it is.
Okay, my question is, how long is it? What's the word?
Well, I would ruin it if I said that. I want to see these guys.
All right. But tell you what, stay with us. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back with some closing comments. Don't touch that dial.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy.
The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowell, our special guest, Roy Mitchell Evans II. Third trivia question, the hardest one we ever asked. How long is the longest word in the English language?
Oh, no, you've asked harder ones than that.
No, this is hard. Russell, what do you think? It's not the word smile, you know, S with a mile in between.
No.
Super allodactyl.
No, that's not an actual word. That's something made up. It's ultra my super volcanic.
No, you're never going to get this one. Okay, first of all, it's I'll give you the hint, but it doesn't really help you. It's there's a chemical name for titin, T-I-T-I-N. You ready for this? It takes over 3 hours to say it because it's over 189,800 letters long.
Get the heck out of
okay.
here.
Okay, I'm going to defend myself.
The hardest question I've ever had.
I'm going to defend myself here. If you go and you ask AI, it says the longest word commonly found in English
dictionary. I didn't say common.
I just said
what's the longest word in the English language? That's all.
Pneumono ultramicroscopic is silicono-volcaniosis. And I did know that. It's the longest word you can find in an English dictionary.
Okay. Are you ready for our silly
joke? I'm talking like a true lawyer.
That's right. Okay. So first of all, here's the first silly joke. What did one depressed accountant say to the other? It's a cruel world out there.
Cruel.
A cruel.
See.
And
I was going to let you get away with it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And it's been 6 months since I joined the gym and still no progress. You know what? I'm going to go down there in person and see what the problem is. Like that one? That's good, right?
That's good. Okay.
Here's our thought for the day. So after hearing a sermon about lies and deceit, a man wrote to the IRS and said, I've been unable to sleep knowing that I cheated on my taxes. I have reviewed my taxable income and have enclosed a check for $900. If I still can't sleep, I'll send in the rest. And this old lady in front of me had $249.76 worth of groceries, but her credit card was declined. Now, I know God will bless me for this. It was a lot of groceries, but I helped her put them all back. All right, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective. Thanks for listening on behalf of our team. I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
Yeah, Roy Mitchell.